begin with you, Lerato. I mean, you've been in the media space, so you've had platforms where you can express yourself in various ways. But a memoir, big deal. It's a big deal because you completely opening yourself up in ways that, you know, only you can decide. What led you to the point where you had to write this memoir? Because my sense is that by the time a person, an author, writes a memoir, it's this calling that's nagging at you and you cannot get away from it. You just have to do it. What was it that made you get there?
You know, I think, first of all, thank you for inviting me and Maria. It's really nice to be talking books on a Saturday and morning to everybody else. I think the thing about it is that in my mind, I don't even see it as a memoir. I think that's what's really kind of odd to hear you say that, because the book was as a result of columns that I had written. So in a sense, it feels like a longer collection of columns that I've done, you know, sort of my thoughts about everything with me and my life story sort of peppered in there. Somebody else also asked me yesterday, another person who was interviewing me, how it came about, and it was as a result of the columns. Penguin wanted me to write a book. I'm one of the few very lucky people where a publisher came to me and asked me to write a book and not the other way around. I had never really thought I would write a book, and when it was time to write one, the only thing, it was my first time, and I thought the best thing to do, the best art is art that reflects you about something that you know. So I thought, let me write about my experiences. So that's how it came about, and it was a difficult process that you're totally right about.
Marie, you wrote a book, and I am assuming that there was a moment with you that made you, you know, call it and say, well, this is it. This is what I want to do.
Good morning, Pimelo, and hi also to Lerato and to your listeners. Yes, I mean, for me, it wasn't actually a moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it was years. It was the sense, these stories, these memories that kept running around in my head. And they bothered me, you know, the patience that I would think about, maybe I could have done things differently. Questioning myself, you know, did I make the right decision? Could I have done things differently? Maybe if I'd hung in for longer, you know, all of those questions kept bugging me. And so for me, writing the book was a kind of, I suppose, an exorcism of sorts. You know, I needed to get clarity. I needed to get closure on that particular chapter of my life. So the best way that I thought to do that was to write about it.
So for those of you who haven't come across Dr. Maria Padime's book, it's a memoir. She's just said that it's a memoir, and it talks about her walking away from the medical profession. Now, for me, it's quite interesting because, you know, you're a woman who grew up in Soweto in the 70s and 80s, a big time in our history. Coming out of that kind of background with an alcoholic father and having issues around your family, you know, death in the family as well while you're still very young. Those are heavy issues. Coming out of that environment, becoming a doctor must be a big deal, you know? It must be a very big deal. And I can almost imagine the pride that everybody must have had when you finally graduated at UCT.
Absolutely.
You know, here was our product. Here was our child. Here's one of us who's now a doctor. And then finally you decide, well, not quite. That must have been something to finally tell everybody why all the investment, all our hopes, all our dreams that were invested in you, you decide, not anymore. What was that like?
Well, I mean, the decision itself was very, very difficult. You know, I didn't take it lightly at all. But I knew that it was the right decision for me. But even after I left, I think that's what took so long for me to then finally share my story, because I felt all that stuff. I felt guilty that, I should have done this. You know, so many people were counting on me, you know. But as well, you know, I suppose it's one of those difficult decisions that we make as human beings. You know, to what extent can I be true to myself? And to what extent must I live according to somebody else's agendas and expectations of me? So I was being true to myself in leaving medicine, but I think I needed to, in sharing, you know, about my decision and my experiences, I was then able to let people know, you know, this is why I did this. And in fact, by doing that, it's actually helped a lot of people. You know, the number of doctors who get in touch with me and say, this is exactly my story. You know, they say, I'm feeling all that you write about in your book. I'm disillusioned, I'm frustrated, I'm overwhelmed, I'm exhausted, I'm traumatized, all of those things that I write about in the book. So many doctors are coming to me with exactly those experiences. You know, I'm being asked to speak at universities, medical schools. You know, just 3 weeks ago, I went back to UCT to go and speak at med school there. These issues are under the surface for so many people. And, you know, I'm glad that by sharing my own story, I've been able to kind of bring them above surface so that we can actually start to do something about them.
Lerato, you came out with, I don't know whether you knew this was going to be received in the way that it was, but your cover came with a warning. Your cover came with a warning, which tells me you probably were aware where this was going to go. But the point I want to get to is also for you, how important was it for you to be brutally honest and come out in your best skin? In other words, you know, you are not really worrying about other people. How important is that for somebody putting down a memoir?
You know, first of all, no. I had no idea that people react with it. And I thought that, you know, people would have reaction to it. But I didn't think what would happen happened. It was really interesting. I mean, to have people react in the way that they did. I mean, luckily since then there's been a great response, and after 6 weeks the book was reprinted. So that is really great that, you know, there's a hunger and people are reading. The reason why you sort of find that brutal honesty, like Maria as well, I had decided to leave commercial print publishing, where I had, you know, been the editor of True Love, etc., and I felt disillusioned about my industry. I wasn't really sure how much I wanted to be in it. I mean, I think as somebody in media, familiar, you know, there's a point where you're just like, ugh, I don't know.
Can't do it.
And yes. Can't do it. Not another thing. And so what I did was that I freelanced. I sat by myself alone. I wrote the book after my mentor and my father had passed away. So there was a lot of grieving and sadness that I felt. So some of the brutal honesty and the discomfort that people feel when they read the book, I felt it too when I was writing it. That's why. So you feel it because that is exactly what I was going through. Because it's satire, I had to find humor when I had no humor. You know, I think the universe does that to you when it's a therapeutic experience. I mean, Maria described it as a sort of exorcism. There's a sense of you are working through your own things as well as you're writing. So I don't feel like I had any choice but to be honest, because that is where I was led. That is what I was called to do. And I think it was the same for Maria. And the thing about both our stories is that when you are evolving, I was evolving into an author, you know, now I have a radio show in Touch Central. When you're evolving, it's not easy. You know, you see it with a butterfly. It's cocooned. You're alone.
Yes.
You have to think about everything that's going to happen when you come out of that cocoon. But afterwards, I think it's beautiful. I mean, I think Maria is going to inspire a lot of people who are probably doing corporate careers, who want to do something else. I think that's great. I think black women are exciting right now.
We'll come back after this.
You love your music. Your collection goes from Music for Summer. Don't let the summer go down on the air. Music for working.
Sweet dreams are made of this.
To music for a Sunday.
Never read a girl.
Other collection in between. 702 Music on Apple Music. place for you to listen to only the music you love. 702 on Apple Music. It's music for all occasions. Get it on apple.com/702.
Every day of the year, Dis-Chem strives to help customers lead a healthier lifestyle with affordable prices and expert advice on a wide range of goods. Then, for 24 days of the year, Dis-Chem becomes so focused on healthy living, we go quite full on. So as well as our everyday stuff, you also get loads of extra super savers and free products with purchase, great discounts, bandit packs, special offers, and 3 20% off weekends. It's like every day, but with a lot more oomph. The focus on healthy living till 9th October at Dis-Chem. Pharmacists to care. Full on.
You look forward to The Money Show every weeknight when I wrap up the most important events of the day. I keep you up to speed with all things to do with money. The Money Show is your show and you hate missing it. You can still listen to the show when you have a moment. It's The Money Show podcast with Old Mutual and you can stream it right now or download it and listen to it later. Just download the 702 app and click the Life icon. Lifestyle, information, finance, entertainment, podcasts when you have a moment.
702 SMS Weekend Breakfast on 31702.
It is Weekend Breakfast and we're talking books with Dr. Maria Padime, who wrote a memoir post-mortem, The Doctor Who Walked Away, and also joining us is Lerato Shabalala, who wrote The Way I See It, which got reaction like I've never seen before. Lerato, for you, just how important was it that you... I'm not sure if the word is ignore, but were you concerned about being responsible for the other? In other words, for speaking, also bearing in mind that you are speaking on behalf of? Was that something that you were concerned about, or you didn't feel like there was that pressure to speak on behalf of others?
I think the irony, Pimelo, is that as a black person, it happens by default. Mm-hmm. You know, there's almost like no choice. You represent the race. Why do you wear a weave? Mm. You know, because you represent black women. Mm. Why do your kids not know an African language? Because you represent black people. So in a way, I went into it knowing that's how it was going to be seen, you know, and I wanted to show that within being part of the group, we are also individuals, and it's important to also be seen as individuals. My opinion, I've said this over and over, is not representative of every black person. Mm-hmm. It's not representative of every South African. It's not representative of every woman. And that's why I think the book, eventually when I found the title, I thought that's great, because it's not the way black people, black women see it. It's the way I see it. And if you happen to see it the way I do, wow, that's great. And if you don't, that's also okay. I mean, I think we live in a world now where we have a groupthink mentality. If you don't agree with me, mm-hmm. I'm going to come at you and I'm going to, you know, fight with you. And I'm a journalist, and my thing is to be on the side of truth, and the truth, whether you're telling it to your best friend, to leave the guy she's with, or you're telling it to somebody else, it's uncomfortable, you know. And we need to be okay with not agreeing and still being able to move on. We don't have to be rude to each other just because we don't agree.
Mm-hmm. Maria, with you and also you coming out very brutally honest about your experience and how you felt, to a profession that is really highly regarded to many, you also experienced some backlash from peers, from colleagues who said, how dare you? Why do you go out there and say the things that you say about us? Were there any moments of regret?
Regret about writing the book?
Yes, because, I mean, it all stems from that, yeah.
No, none. No regret whatsoever. You know, the thing is, I'm glad that I didn't think too much about what the reaction would be. Mm. You know, there was when I was writing it, I was a little bit nervous, but I thought, ah, you know, I'm sure it would be okay. And I think also I was naive, you know, unlike Lerato, who's, you know, who comes from the world of media, I had no exposure to that sort of thing. So for me, it was really just sharing my story from a very personal perspective, and that was all that I was thinking about. And I'm glad that that was my approach, because I wasn't thinking too much about other people, and therefore I was being true to sharing the story and sharing my truth. It was only afterwards that people then started reacting to it. And interestingly enough, the overwhelming response from the medical profession has been a very positive one. You know, the number of emails I get from doctors who say, thank you, thank you, at last somebody has written about this stuff, because so many people are suffering in silence. You know, this is not the sort of thing that you talk about in medicine. This is not the thing that you're told. You're supposed to keep up the facade.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing. We are the healers. We're the ones who are in charge, et cetera, et cetera. But for me to then share my story, I think, has made a lot available for other doctors.
Lerato, a quick one, because we've run out of time. Would you do it again?
You know, I think I would. Yeah, I love what books do, which is exactly what Marie is talking about, which is to connect people. I also, this was my first book, I had no frame of reference. And I see people read books on holiday, people read books at work. They when you're with, so yes, I would do it again. Yes, I would do it again.
I love that.
And I also have no regrets.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, unfortunately, we've run out of time. We could go on and on, but it is our book feature. That's how we kick it off. We'll take it again next week and continue our conversations. Let's do this.
Less than expected.